be at 0 to 80, and I'm not quite sure how we reconcile that.
But I thought that 0 to 80 was, or the 60 to 80 was for home ownership and not for rental.
Actually, home ownership is up to 100%. So I think the best way to characterize it, maybe to respond, is, you know, we do have a sense of directions from the Central City Concept Plan that speaks to 0-80%. We do have the urban renewal guidelines, which are 0-60%. But I think, as we heard, I think we all agree, we want to see sort of some mixed income development here. So I think this really speaks aspirationally to, you know, we also want to include, if we can, through private resources or through our multi-program units that serve that 60-80% as well.
I support the Central City goal, and I share what the point that you made and Mark Eland made about mixed income development, because sometimes that's the strongest development, where we blend the deeply affordable housing with middle income housing, and everyone wins. The only thing I guess I'm a little gun shy because of North McAdam. I don't want this to be interpreted as saying that somehow we don't invest the first dollar into where the greatest need is. And the first dollars and the money that we're generating in this area, if we adopt the resolution before us, will be set aside money for deeply affordable housing.
So I might want to ask Patrick and Javier and Joe, if they're still here, to come up and respond to this about how this would be administered if we adopt these amendments.
It's just me.
Okay. Well, you get to impersonate Javier and Joe if you want to.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, to restate, we're not treading any new ground here. We're simply restating what we've already done. But I'll let Patrick.
I don't have anything to add, because I do think this is, I've talked to some of you individually, I think this is an outstanding question. So I think the Planning and Sustainability Commission put forth this goal as part of the comprehensive plan, and it's 0-80, and it's unfunded, right? So I don't, so, but the funding we have is 0-60, and there's no intent to change. I mean, there's nothing that suggests that there's any intent to change that, nor is it suggested that the money that would be invested as a part of the purchase price would do anything other than reserve space for set-aside eligible units, which is 0-60. So, right, so we do have a conflict here, but the conflict is, I think, just because we haven't fully talked about what the 0-80, the 30% 0-80 citywide means, right? That's a different.
Let me make a suggestion.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to harmonize it, because I don't like the word conflict.
Yeah. I didn't mean personal conflict.
I know. Right. No, but
conflict in thought and ideas.
No, but the word conflict, just so let me see if I can harmonize it.
Yeah.
Commissioner Saltzman and you have both said, reaffirmed, that the set aside money goes to people at 0-60.
Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Saltzman has referred to the Central City 2035 plan, which has an overall goal. And to get housing above 60%, he has noted that we have other tools, independent of TIF, like the multi-program. And with the multi-program, we can get units that go up the income ladder. So to harmonize this, perhaps the answer is, yes, our $20 million will go for 0-60, with an emphasis on deeply affordable units. But Commissioner Saltzman's reminding us that in a mixed-use development context, we will use other tools to add apartments up to 80% through incentives. But our subsidized housing, which is what our urban renewal dollars fund, will be focused on 0-60. Is that correct?
Our set-aside resources have been limited and will continue to be limited to 0-60% investments.
And the other point I would make is, we have a strong, this council has been very clear, front load the set aside dollars and invest in families in need. So in harmonizing this, I hope the goal is not to hold back on the TIF in hopes of some other project down the road, that we get as much built now for people that are in need.
From my understanding, I mean, it will be, the investment will be to help acquire the site. So then eventually through proceeds is when we'll get the resources to be able to develop.
Dan, that's
great harmony.
So what's the effect then of adding this language?
Sounds like we're restating something. That's
Really restating what is already in the Central City Concept Plan. And my whole goal is just to have everything that we've done, our actions and the actions of the Planning and Sustainability Commission, be reflected in these ordinances and resolutions that we're adopting. So future years, future City Hall staffers are trying to figure out legislative history or agency staffers, all the documents and all the language will be in one place as opposed to in several different documents and ordinances.
So in that case, I think there needs to be a clarifying ending phrase about the TIF set-aside dollars going to 0 to 60.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's a friendly amendment.
Future council might read this as superseding our policy.
Right.
That's what I'm concerned about.
Okay. So maybe given that the taxing homeowners financing set aside money is for 0 to 60%.
Sure. That was a friendly amendment. Yeah.
Thank you.
Got that.
And what about the Second Amendment?
The Second Amendment, again, is really speaking to the the IGA between the city and the Portland Development Commission, that the Housing Bureau is to retain $20 million property interests in the post office property if purchased.
Yeah, up to $20 million. But as Javier said, they're going to take a 90-day period to study what that investment will look like, both size and kind of how we structured. So it's an up to $20 million, and then the rest would come to the Housing Bureau as kind of straight-up debt proceeds that can be used for other projects.
And that's what you and Director Krieger...
Which is memorialized in a memo
that we
shared with council.
That's the memo, yeah. Okay, yeah. So we're just trying to put the what's understood and what's been memorialized in the memo as part of this legislative history here.
Right. So you're not troubled by these amendments. You consider them enshrining work we've already done elsewhere or clarifying...
Yeah, absolutely. We're fine with it. I still think that as I mentioned, I know I won't use the word conflict, but I still think there is, in the first piece, there is the number of units that basically get land banked, potential units, through the purchase of FAR, it will involve a future funding source. It won't be TIF because it's a big enough number and it happens over a long enough period of time that it's beyond the TIF that's available in the River District, and so it could very well be that those units get built without TIF. I don't know whether you want to contemplate that in this today, but I think that's part of the rationale for the way it's presented in the First Amendment as being this longer term post set aside policy that actually drives how things, right? So I think that's the complexity of this, is that 600, 800 units, whatever gets bought through that FAR, is well beyond any forecast for TIF in the River District, right? So it would involve another funding source.
And you're signaling we're going to have another funding source. But if you acquire the dirt with set aside money, it must be developed consistent with the set aside.
So that would be clarification beyond, right? So I think that would be clarification that's needed and kind of to future councils or to yourself in the future.
Well, Mayor,
Sort of the friendly amendment.
Right, okay.
I hope there's no doubt about that. And by the way, this is even beyond set-aside money. The proposal is for us to use the general fund as a backstop on this transaction. So if we are not utterly clear that we're meeting our most important policy goal in terms of the who we're going to serve, then we should clarify that before we have our final vote.
Well, I think we've done that now, given the further amendment that Commissioner Fritz articulated. So.
Okay.
Patrick, I have one last question since you're here. The area, the study area that you described earlier includes Block U, the backside of Bud Clark Commons. And there was a story in the paper, I think this week, that the county's potentially gotten a little more height and they've come up with a design for that building. Are we satisfied that it does not intrude on the light and air of Bud Clark Commons as was a condition of our doing that deal?
I can't speak
Block
to that.
Block U is a PHB on site, and we are working with the county on those developments. At this moment in time, I can't tell you whether there is an impact or not. I don't know, but that's something that we continue to.
So, as the author of the agreement, I would say that each time I see a picture that shows the building moving closer to the moon, it makes me a little nervous because it's encroaching on the air and light of a building that was designed to have an outdoor space. So I would appreciate a briefing on that at some point.
Will do.
Other questions for our staff? Okay. Thank you both very much. So let's take a vote to accept the amendments, and then we can take testimony.
Novick?
Voting on the amendment to the amendments?
Just on voting on the amendments.
Are we voting them on them as a package?
Yes, the two as a package, unless you have a problem.
No. Okay. Just I wanted to be clear because I did have a comment on the amendment to 1159, which is simply that telling PDC to, which tell, among other things, tells PDC not to create covenants, restrictions, or encumbrances on the use of post office property, that would further reduce PDC's ability to gain the highest market value. And I will ruefully state that I suspect that we're more likely to impose such encumbrances than PDC. But having said that, I vote aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Okay, those are accepted. And so let's see who signed up to speak. Take public testimony on the whole package.
We have two people signed up.
Okay.
Jim Wittenberg and Lightning Watchdog PDX.
Okay, come on up, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog PDX. I do agree this is a legacy project. Some of the concerns I have is that when we buy the property at $80 million and we add a lot more costs, we'll be in it for $121 million. As Mr. Edlin said, the value of the dirt will be worth maybe $177 million. That'll give about a $56 million profit if we decide to not go farther at that time. Why are we not talking about the city stepping out earlier? If we bring in a investor that does want to step in right now, that investor would probably be willing to pay a certain amount and we step out and avoid all the risk. That's one option. Option number two, if we do decide to go forward, I understand we have 3,800,000 gross square feet on this project. Currently, we're talking residential of about 67% of the project, and that'll be around 2 million square feet. Now, I want to make sure that we stay within that parameter of that residential if we decide to go forward. Another issue I have is that we have done a lot of urban renewal shuffling in the last couple of weeks. One of the big concerns I have is I don't want to see put on the shelf is Jordan Snitzer's project, Centennial Mills. I know he asked for $38 million urban renewal funds. PDC, I hope you will follow through on this, because what we're doing right now is we're shuffling a lot of the money around, and I think we're going to push some projects off to the side, and I would hate to see Centennial Mills be pushed off to the side. Jordan Snitzer is a very well-respected developer, knows what he's doing. When he steps up to the table, he's ready to perform. And when he states a certain number, it's because he's done a tremendous amount of data to get to that point. He's not an amateur at the game, and he knows what he's doing, and he knows what he's looking at. And I'd hate to see him put on the shelf to get this U.S. Post Office. Another issue I have is when you're talking relocation of the post office, I understand Troutdale has some properties out there in their industrial center. Where are we stopping on the overall cost to transfer them over to this property? That hasn't really been made very clear to me. Now, as far as on Union Station, absolutely, I want to see that basically restored, a plaza put there. One of the concerns I do have is the actual clock at Union Station has restrictions on how high you can go, and to make sure that they have clear visibility from all areas on that clock, and I want to see how you're going to try to get around that. Again, I don't want any height limitations on this U.S. Post Office land, period. Thank you.
Thank you. Jim, welcome.
Hi, I'm Jim Wittenberg. I almost didn't make it today because I almost got ran down on Broadway Avenue on Monday because the car was going about 60 miles an hour down with on a cell phone, and she wanted to make the light, and that was more important than my life. I'm convinced of that. So I think we ought to not forget to do the roads in this town, because these people aren't going to have anything to drive on out here if you guys don't fix them pretty soon. So I heard once that the first duty of a mayor and the city council is to keep the good roads in the city and to take care of the water and the sewers. And if they didn't do that, probably they wouldn't last too long here. And I personally like you, and you've done things for me in the past that were helpful. But that's one of the problems we have. Secondly, I put in this piece of paper here, which shows that we're going to be out of money pretty soon here and be in the red. This is also shows a lot of red areas down here for about 10 years. I'm not going to be probably alive 10 years. I'll probably be in a pot on a mantle somewhere. But most of you people will still be here, and you're going to have to pay for this. You're going to have to come out of your salary. And I don't know how much that you're going to have to pay. I know my brothers and my three nieces and their eight grandnieces and nephews and my sister are going to be paying for this, you know, and maybe if my brother lives long enough, he'll pay for it too. But I think I just want to hear that so I understand what you're doing there. The last thing that I have is the post office itself. For 50 years, I've been using that post office, about 55. I used to own a pharmacy here in town, and I took my bills down there every month and posted them. And then I got other amenities from the post office that we'll have. It's going to be hard for me to ever use the post office if you move it out of there. So I want some assurances they're not going to take that post office, the retail part of it, which is the front, and put that out in Cedar Hills or somewhere out there where I used to live. And other than that, I just hope that you guys can pay for all these things, because that's going to be some real juggling to get all these things done and paid for.
Jim, let me ask you a question, because you're a frequent visitor, and you have lots of interesting things to tell us. We have two options before us. One is to do nothing, in which case the post office continues to occupy that site, pays no taxes, and it creates a lot of conflicts with the community that's built around them.
Sure.
Conflicts are trucks they can't really get in and out, and a use that's not really compatible for that site. The alternative is for us to acquire the site, develop it, put properties on the tax rolls, create some wealth, and then generate a return for the city. And the risk is, in the short term, we have to provide some backstop financing, but the CFO of the city, who is an independent actor, reports to us independently, has come and said he's comfortable with the arrangement. And one of the leading developers in the city has come and said that if we don't screw it up, we actually could make a premium on the property. That's what's before us right now. And so, as between the two options, which do you recommend we do?
And I'm not against that. I just want to make. I'm just curious. I'm not against you developing the post office property, and moving that. But what we want is a retail post office down there, the retail part of it. The other stuff can go. We can set in China if you want to put it out there. But you keep
some kind of retail office there.
Yeah. That's what I hear again and again and again from every time I bring this subject up. That's the first thing that I hear almost. Is people don't want to have to go to these little post offices and buildings downtown that they can't find to post something.
That's a good idea.
So those are the main things. I don't care, but I just hope that you can spend all this money that you're spending, you can pay for it down the road. Because now we're talking in hundreds of millions of dollars, which is going to take some creative financing to pay that off in the future. And I'm sure these guys are up to it. I just want to make sure you guys make sure they do it right, you know. And we'll watch you from out here. I don't expect to be here too much in the future, but
Jim, you will not be in some urn in 10 years.
I won't.
You'll be right in this chair, wagging your finger at a future mayor and giving the same speech.
Right.
And we're counting on it.
That's right. You're creating this debt for this new mayor that's going to come in.
We're counting on it.
He's going to have to pay it off.
You'll be here for several more mayors.
You're going to be here for a South Sea Island somewhere.
Right. Thank you, Jim. Thank you.
Take care.
All right, anyone else want to speak on this item? Then let's move, please, to the vote on the first of these, which is the resolution 1158.
Novick.
So I think that one thing that people, that the public might be concerned about is we're voting to adopt a framework plan which has a preferred concept in it, which says what a bunch of people who looked at this would like this area to look like. And I expect some people might say, well, okay, you want it to look like that, and that'll wind up being incredibly expensive, and that'll mean that the city general fund loan will never be repaid. And I want to make it quite clear that we are not saying that we are going to have precisely this concept no matter how much it costs. It is of primary importance that any general fund resources be repaid, and if that means that the concept for this area might be somewhat different from the preferred concept outlined, that is what will happen. I'm very reassured by what our chief financial officer is telling us and by what Mark Edelman is telling us about the inherent value of this site and our confidence that the city will be repaid for any general fund line of credit. Aye.
Fritz. Well, congratulations, Mayor Hales, for bringing this home with Portland Development Commission Patrick Quinson. This site has been talked about for as long as I've been on the council, and so it's quite amazing to be here today without 60,000 people turning out for it to pass this resolution. Aye.
Fish?
Mayor, when this first proposal percolated forward, I was actually a little skeptical because, number one, I wasn't sure about the financing, and number two, I wasn't clear about the sequencing because we have a lot of big asks that are in the pipeline. The Portland Building, Memorial Coliseum, this site, as well as ongoing infrastructure needs. Three things changed my mind. One was the professionals who told us that there's a historic opportunity for us to control the destiny of a very important piece of dirt, develop it consistent with Portland values, and do so in a way that may provide a significant return to the public. That's pretty good if we can pull that off. Number two is we have a CFO in this city, a $3-point-something billion municipal corporation, whose job it is to come tell us if we're getting too close to the line on debt or risk. And the CFO has done a comprehensive analysis of this and said that he's satisfied that this financing mechanism is prudent. And the third is that we have a chance in this development to make another significant contribution towards affordable housing and do it the right way, which is at the front end with binding commitments, learning from our experience in North McAdam. So for those reasons, and then just an extra credit one for me, is that if we are serious about PDC moving beyond TIF as a funding source, and if we want PDC to play a long-term role in economic development, we are going to have to develop a new model for them to be successful. And in lots of cities, there is an economic development agency that controls dirt and develops dirt. And when there's a profit, it accrues to the public benefit and sustains the Economic Development Agency. And I actually think that this project could be the test case to see whether PDC can become more entrepreneurial and be given more flexibility as a property owner and operate more like the port than the old PDC. So for all those reasons, I think this is the right approach, and I would second what Commissioner Fritz said, which is thank you, Mayor, for bringing this forward, and thank you to PDC and the team for all the work you've put into this. Aye.
Well, I wanted to let Commissioner Fritz know that this has been a quest even longer than since you've been on the council. You know, it goes back to when I know Mayor Katz was here, and I think you were on the council at the time. This has been one of those elusive dreams of the City Council, Portland Development Commission, to finally get a hold of the post office site. I think what's different right now is you know, two things: A, Mayor Hale's leadership and determination, but two, as the panelists reflected, the market's really right now for this to happen. I think in the past, we always thought, well, maybe we can find the post office a home and take this 14 acres, but I don't think we really had sort of the economic engine to really see something happen, or the vacancy rates, both residential and commercial, being at historic lows that just tell us that development is primed, and particularly on the affordable housing, when we can prime the pumps with, you know, further commitment of public resources to do that. So I really do think it's a question of having the right leadership and being in the right time in the right place. But I don't want to make it sound like it's that easy. So I want to thank, again, the mayor's office, the Portland Development Commission, and also the Office of Management and Finance, our CFO, for coming up with a rather ingenious, but I believe a secure plan of attack here to really take these 14 acres and turn them into a real asset for our city.
fails.
Well, thank you all for your support for this bold venture, bold but prudent venture. And in addition to the folks that have been thanked, excellent work by the Portland Development Commission and the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability and the Office of Management and Finance and the Housing Bureau. Also want to thank Jillian Detweiler on my team in my office, whose advice about development and growth in the city is essential to my good work. So thank you, Jillian. I just want to return to a metaphor I mentioned in our work session on this. Not just in this issue, but in so many, we can look around and realize that we're in a very fast-moving river of change right now in Portland. And what you can do in that situation is you can drift and hope, or you can paddle to where you want to go. And that's what we're trying to do here. This is growth that's coming, and we can deal with it or not. But if we do this, this is 2,300 households that we don't have to shoehorn into other neighborhoods. This is 4,000 jobs that can make use of existing infrastructure, including being really close to some of the biggest transit assets and bicycle networks in our city. And that's why the Central City 2035 plan calls for relocating the post office. And it's also important to reflect that in these kinds of situations, again, going to the drift or paddle metaphor, it is actually easier to do nothing. And if we had done that in a couple of other cases, we would now really regret it. What we call the Pearl District was envisioned at one time as something of Cruise Way North, a low-rise office district with lots of parking. And we could have drifted to that outcome and not have the great neighborhood that we have now. In the South Waterfront, we could have allowed a gated community that was proposed for the prime 10 acres at the southern edge of the district to go ahead and happen. We could have let OHSU go to the suburbs, which is what they were planning on at the time, but we paddled to a different objective and are getting an amazing place for our venture there. And so very much the same here. We could let this opportunity slip by and keep putting up with semi-trucks on the Broadway Bridge at rush hour for the rest of time, because that industrial use doesn't make any sense where it is today. So this is a great opportunity to go to where we want to go as a city, and I'm very proud of the fact that we now have the chance with this good advice and these good partners and Patty and Nolan, the best architects around, to think about another great part of Portland. Thank you all for queuing up this great opportunity for our city. Aye. Okay, let's take the next item, which is an emergency ordinance.
1159, Novick.
So I can now correct my mistake of not previously thanking the mayor and Jillian and Patrick and Patty and Ken Rust and everybody else who worked so hard to bring this about. Another point I wanted to make about this whole deal is that I think a lot of people might ask, if this is such valuable property, why isn't some private party buying it from the post office? Why is the city buying it? And if a private party isn't buying it, doesn't that mean the city's being sold a bill of goods? And what we've been told is that the post office operates under legal restrictions as to how they can dispose of their property, and they can't, under federal law, and I can't cite the federal law for you, they can't simply sell it to a private developer. They can more easily transfer it to the city. So that's why we're stepping in to play this role. Aye.
Fritz.
This is the ordinance on the draft intergovernmental agreement. It says that Portland Development Commission will provide quarterly reports, and I'm assuming that those will be coming to the entire council as well as the Office of Management and Finance and the mayor. Would like to also request that they go to the City Budget Office and add my thanks to that independent group as well as to our Chief Financial Officer, Ken Rust, for vetting the financing mechanism, which does have some risk, but I'm comfortable that it's risk that's manageable and worth taking. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. And the others move to second reading. 1160 and 1161 move to second reading next week.
They have to go out to the 18th because of our Thursday
to the 18th
policy.
Then. Okay. That's right. That's right, because Veterans Day falls on. So those 1160 and 1161 go to November 18th. Okay, now we are ready to move to